hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having a fantastic day today. How are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm blessed beyond measure. I tell you what, this is a great day. The Lord hath made it. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. I had somebody this morning who's an alcoholic. I talked to him. Great guy, good friend of mine, not going to mention any names, going for treatment. Talked to me about the Rockefeller Rothschild Medical Complex and didn't want to go on psychiatric drugs. I told him that wasn't necessary to treatment of alcoholism. And he said to me, he goes, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with this unbelievable news that you have to report on every day on your show, you know, without drinking? That's what he asked me. That was about an hour ago. No, it's not even an hour, 40 minutes ago. And my response was, thanks be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for my relationship with God, it would be difficult. And also that I pray every day on an ongoing basis about what's going on in the world. And I ask God to lead me and direct me and to guide me to allow me to see the truth of what's happening and to tell you folks, my friends, my listeners, our customers, our supporters, basically our brothers and sisters in Christ and all of the people who listen to me all over the world, what's really happening. And then I talked to him this morning a little bit more about how we talk about stuff that nobody else talks about. And we do. Also, I had another friend this morning, Josh, text me some stuff, and his wife's having some health issues, and we prayed for her on a regular basis, prayed for her again this morning, and we prayed for my friend with the alcoholism, and we prayed for all of you this morning. And I said to Josh this morning, I said, his wife basically has been found to be benign with some tumor stuff they removed. It was a benign tumor around her ovary. And we ended up in a situation where now the doctor has decided he doesn't trust the pathology reports, and he wants to continue to do additional surgeries. I mean, I don't even know what to say about all this. I mean, I remember years ago, about three months ago, I was at a gas station over in Lakeland, Austin, and I had a friend of mine I ran into. Her name was Beth, and her sister, Melanie. They were daughters of Richard Dawson, and they no longer live in the area. Richard was a good friend of mine back in the 80s. May he rest in peace. And he sent a girl over to me back in the late 80s, early 90s. Her name was Carol. And I was reminded of this because we talked about it at the gas station while I was getting fuel. And Carol was in her mid, about 30, 34 years old, young lady, had a couple of kids, great woman. Dad was a medical doctor, and she had ended up having a malignant melanoma. And she went to a naturopath, and they worked on her, and they put on a really good cleansing program. She came in to see me, and the melanoma was gone, didn't exist. And she said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, I'm happy for you that the thing's gone. And she goes, you think it's cured? And I said, I don't know. I said, but you don't see it. It's not there. So she went back to her medical doctor, and the medical doctor says, I don't believe that your cleansing program got rid of this. And he said, we're going to have to do another CAT scan and some more MRIs and check it out. Make sure you're clear. And he did and couldn't find anything, nothing. And then the doctor told her, well, I don't believe it. There's nothing there. I don't believe it. Can't find this. I don't believe it. So we're gonna have to. It dove into your tissue, and it's running around, lurking in there somewhere in your throat, presented by her throat. And she goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, we have to do exploratory surgery." And he goes, "We have to try to find this mess, this cancer thing that's hiding in there." And guys, I'm not making this up. I don't make anything up. And then I told Carol, I said, well, if it's not there and they can't find anything on the MRI, they can't find anything on the CAT scan, why are they going to do exploratory surgery? And she goes, well, I don't know. And so I said, well, you need to get other opinion because I think this is nuts. But she did it. She went and had the surgery done. And about 4 months later, she came back in to see me, and she had a scarf around her neck. And I said to her, what's going on? And she took a note tablet out, and she wrote, they did the surgery on my throat, and they cut my vocal cords. I'll never speak again. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. And then she started crying. And it was weird because she really couldn't cry because she couldn't make any sounds because her throat was cut. It was unbelievable. They'd cut her from ear to ear looking for this thing. Didn't find anything. Well, then the guy told her, and she wrote down on the paper, now they're convinced that there's still somewhere they can't find this. They want me to go on chemotherapy and radiation until they find this cancer that they can't find to make sure I'm okay. And I said, are you really going to do this after what they've done to you? I mean, really? They can't find anything now. They couldn't find anything with the MRI. Couldn't find anything with the CAT scan. They couldn't find anything with anything. They couldn't find anything with surgery. Now they're going to do chemotherapy and radiation on you? She goes, yeah. And 4 months later, she was dead. And, I think, my gosh, how does this happen? How does this happen? And my same buddy Richard, who sent her to me, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, which usually takes 25 years to kill you. He's in his mid-60s, about 100 pounds overweight, and would have died from something other than prostate cancer. And he went through the chemotherapy and the radiation and all with the prostate cancer, and he was dead within 6 months. And I've told you his story before. And I could tell you stories about my Aunt Audrey, who basically was 85 years old, and they wanted to do bypass surgery on her, though she could walk 2 miles unassisted, no heavy breathing whatsoever. And they did that, and she never woke up out of surgery. Or Marlon Maddox, my friend from the USA Radio Network from back from the 90s, who we were on the show many, many, many times. I was one of his top fundraisers. And he went in for the second bypass surgery, never woke up, and they killed him. And I just tell you story after story after story after story. I'm not going to do that because these are all negative stories. So why is that? Why is the Rockefeller Rothschild medical complex model so darn, I'm being careful with what I say, debilitating? Well, because it's designed to be that way. There is no money. Remember the big article came out in Goldman Sachs a few years ago. There's no money in curing people. You say, well, what do you mean by Ted? Isn't that the goal of these large corporate conglomerates? No, it's not about curing you. They don't cure you. Why would they cure you? Curing you means that they no longer have you in as a patient, and they no longer get to use you as a revenue stream. Well, no, they don't really think that way. Well, let me explain something to you. Surgeons get paid when they cut. Chemotherapy people get paid when they poison you. Radiation people get paid when they irradiate you and burn you. I mean, this is how they make their living. And if they can't find somebody to cut, burn, or irradiate, then they're not going to get paid. You think you're really going to find a cure for cancer? Do you really think that's going to happen? They already have cures for cancer. There are multiple people, including Royal Rife, who developed cures for cancer back in the 30s, 70, 80 years ago, 90 years ago. They're not going to release those technologies. Why? It's a multi-billion dollar industry, hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, think about it for a second. They're going to have run for the cure for breast cancer. Everybody's going to run for the cure. These people, if they found the cure, these huge corporations, these nonprofits, would be out of business. They'd have no jobs. They don't want to cure anything. They just want you to continue to support them. They're as bad as some of these 501(c) corporation preachers or their private jets. It's unbelievable what these guys are involved in and how they treat people. It's not about curing the vast majority of the cases. Every once in a while you get a doctor who's not like this. 20% of the time, you're going to probably run into a really good doctor who really cares about keeping you healthy, who cares about keeping you from getting poisoned by the Rockefeller Rothschild medical industrial complex. But guys, 80% of the time you're not. So guys, whenever these guys want to cut you or burn you or hack on you or just chisel around on you or make you better, remove organs and try to paste you back together again, you really need to get a second opinion. Why is that? Because guys, it's what they want to do to you on an ongoing basis when they hack you and chop you. You guys, it's just not something you need to be involved in if you can at least avoid it. But the best thing you can do is avoid the Rockefeller Rothschild. Find yourself a naturopath. Find yourself a homeopath. Find yourself a chiropractor. Find yourself somebody in your area who you can talk to about natural protocols. Heck, if you just have some simple questions, call our office up. We'll help you. You know, I mean, this is what it is. Many of you have my email address. You call me up or you text me occasionally and you ask me different questions, and I help you the best I can. I mean, all we can do is to work together as a team, as a family here, to figure this stuff out. By the way, Prater came out with another great, great, great article. And it's all called American Greatness. And it says, not all Americans are proud that we have more women in the workforce. Also, I hear you rustling papers, bud. Not all Americans are proud that we have more women in the workforce than ever before. In a State of the Union address, President Trump announced, all Americans can be proud that we have more women in the workforce than ever before. It was one of the few times that he received a standing ovation from both the heathen, satanic, Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Masonic Democrats, and Masonic Republicans. And he goes, I would not have stood up and cheered. And by the way, I wouldn't either, is what Prater's saying. Either the president or whoever wrote that line honestly thought it was something worth celebrating, or the president simply wanted to say something that would sound wonderful to both the Democrats and the Republicans, as well as to Americans who do not otherwise support him. Whatever the reason, both the fact that there were more women in the workforce than ever before and the fact that Trump thought mentioning it would bring credit to his administration constitute a victory for the feminist left. Getting women to leave home for the workplace has been one of the central goals of modern feminism. Amen to that. Feminists deny this. They're claiming that they don't prefer women to work outside of the home. They only want women to have a choice whether to do so. But if that were true, why did all congressional Democrats, the women and white feminists, all jump up and cheer? Answer is obvious. Feminists consider women who eschew a career to take care of their home, their children, and their husband to be less than a woman who had placed career first. Years ago, Sharon was somewhere. I forgot where we were. Somebody asked her, what do you do? She goes, you know, we got 4 kids. She goes, I'm a mother, homemaker, and an author, and I take care of our kids and I homeschool them. And the lady who asked her the question goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that." And she says, "What are you talking about? I am proud to be a Christian homemaker and mother, take care of my family. It is the highest calling a woman could ever have." And the feminist kind of looked at her and kind of shrieked back. I'm surprised that the harpies from hell weren't released when she said this to this lady. I can't believe that women actually believe that the best thing they can do is have careers and not have children. Why? Because they don't want you to have children. They don't want you to reproduce. They don't want you to have a family unit that's actually functional. He goes on to say, "But even if one prefers that women work outside of the home, all Americans can be proud that we have more women in the workforce than ever before. It's simply not true. As feminists often note, many women work outside the home not because they want to, because they have no choice. They have to support themselves, their household, and their children, and or their husbands who have been displaced because of affirmative action," I'm adding this, "or because of immigrants coming into the country taking their job." So he asked a few questions. Are women happier today? Are families doing better today? Are marriages happier with wives at home or in the workplace? Do young people grow up happier and better adjusted with mothers at home or with mothers in the workplace? Is society's emphasis on work and career inhibiting more young women from marrying and having children? There we go. Now we're back to eugenics again. Is society better off or worse when a record number of women leave home to enter the workplace? Only when these questions are answered will we know whether to cheer or not. I'm going to say this to you. We are not better. We are not better whatsoever. We have dysfunctional houses, dysfunctional homes, people living together outside of marriage, children not knowing who to believe, whether they're straight transgenders or transsexuals, because these feminists are having children, many of them basically with sperm donors, and they're basically being completely and totally confused in the school systems, being taught transgenderism okay at the age of 5, 6, and 7 while they're still in the theta brainwave state. I mean, are you kidding me? This is better? This is better. We're being blessed as a country from this? No, we're not. Our country is on a slippery slope to hell. We're on a downhill drag going towards it. And the problem is, nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to care that the governor of Virginia says, take that baby after it's born and lay it on the table. Let the doctor and the wife, the mother, have a little chit-chat whether they're going to kill that child or not. Are you kidding me? What the H-E double sticks is going on? I mean, who are these people that they think they have the power over life and death? Oh, I remember. This is who they are. They're the same Rockefeller-Rothschild medical cartel that wants to make sure that they poison you and they radiate you and they chemo you and they basically keep you from eating good, healthy food and make sure you eat GMOs and keep a fluoride IV in your arm. Oh, that's the same guys. That's right. Oh, so why should they not want to kill children, babies, infants? They put people on this doggone slab of this medical profession on an ongoing basis thinking, oh, well, I have a friend of mine who basically was a medical doctor for years and years and years, lost his license for various reasons. I'm not going to get into that. He worked in a major hospital. In the hospital, one of the chief residents there, according to my friend, I wasn't there to see this, every time they would turn life support off on somebody, he had a magic marker. He'd mark on one of the hospital radiators how many people he had turned life support on that he was personally responsible for dying. And they'd always do it when they ran out of insurance coverage, when their insurance had run out, they no longer had the ability to pay the hospital. And this guy would cheer with glee. He was so happy he could do this because it was one less useless eater to feed. Come on, guys, really? Is this what we've turned into now? We've turned into a group of people that don't care a bit that when they get given these drugs and medications legally, that 100,000 people die every year. Get 20 people with measles in Washington State. All H-E double sticked hell, excuse me, all hell breaks loose. I said I already slipped it. I might as well finish it. All H-E double sticks breaks loose. And they want to have now mandatory vaccines in Washington State because 20 people got measles, which is no big deal. Why? Because it sells more vaccines. We have a group of people now down in Mexico that say they've cured HPV. Cured it. Like 100% of the time curing it. You think we're going to get access to these types of drugs with Gardasil making billions of dollars? Are you kidding me? We're not going to have access to it in the United States. Why? It's not considered sound medical therapy. Won't work. Never been proven. It's all been proven, but they don't care. They're not going to allow it to go through. Why? There's no money in curing people. It's better to keep them sick and diseased. There's no money in having women stay at home with their children. It's better to confuse the children, confuse the marriages. Make the husband and the wife so tired when they come home at night, they can't spend any time together. They've got to sit in front of a TV set in a theta brainwave state, just drooling beside each other, not knowing what to do because they're both so physically exhausted. They can't have a physical relationship with each other anymore because they're too tired or they have headaches or they're exhausted, fatigued. So they have no intimacy in their marriage. they no longer see each other. They both go separate ways. Some of them work different shifts than the other one works. No one ever sees anybody. They spend a few minutes together. Is that God's best? Absolutely not. This is the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian, I must add another one, Masonic way of breaking up the households and destroying the family units to help bring in their new world, one world government and religion. Austin, what do you think?
Really well said. There's no doubt about it. That's exactly what's going on. I mean, you pretty much nailed it on the head. I mean, that was excellent. And I mean, this is what's going on. And what's wild that we're seeing right now is even as much as a lot of the United States population has shown us that they're willing to go, the politicians and these bought and paid for corrupt Democrat, Republicans, all across the board, doesn't matter. You name them, they're pretty much, majority of them are corrupt up there now, whether they got blackmail, whether they got money on them, doesn't matter what it is. And so what we're seeing now is a lot of these things that they're pushing, a lot of these really sadistic policies that they're trying to implement, aren't even necessarily at the request of the population. I saw a poll earlier, and this was interesting. It was a poll from a nonpartisan firm called YouGov. They basically try to do really unbiased poll research studies and take a huge poll of people. And they found, they just did this poll first week of February, they found out that 2 out of 3 Americans who identify as pro-choice and have identified as pro-choice majority of their voting life oppose abortion even in the third trimester. And the national survey, which was conducted the first week in February, just 2 weeks after the New York State passed its controversial bill allowing abortions until birth, and Democratic Virginia governor endorsed infanticide, the survey found that 53% of Americans identified as pro-choice, while 47% identified as pro-life. Of the pro-choice survey respondents, almost 70% said they oppose abortion in the third trimester, and of that group as well, almost 80% of those pro-choice opposed removing medical care for a viable child. Now, those numbers realistically should have been 100%. Nobody should be supportive of that. But again, what you're seeing is here that there's only a small fraction of the population that is really, really hardcore sadistic like these hardcore Democrats are up in New York and Virginia saying that this is what they want to do now. So we've got a government now that is not by the people for the people at all. I mean, that's clear-cut evidence now. We have taxation without representation. They are not trying to do the best they can for the states or for the counties or for the cities or for the overall country anymore. It's whatever their globalist overlord masters tell them to push. And now we're starting to see that some of the population is starting to just go through with it because they're allowing this stuff to go through. And it's really, really wild. As we saw up here, I talked to you guys about this about a week and a half ago in New Jersey, how voters and almost the entire New Jersey population is now in uproar at Governor Murphy because he's literally about to prepare to sign the rain tax into law today. They said just when frustrated residents of New Jersey, one of the most heavily taxed states in the U.S., thought the Democrat Governor Murphy had already brought the state into the ninth circle of taxation hell with new taxes to save the state's ailing pension system, middle-class voters in one of the least affordable states in the country have now given one more thing to complain about, and that's a tax on rain. This is from Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge. And he goes on to detail here now saying the rain tax is a newly created arm of a local bureaucracy which will be empowered to charge property owners a fee based on amount of non-permeable surface they own, including parking lots and driveways. The communist logic behind this is that the non-permeable surfaces create runoff when it rains, and that runoff gets polluted as it travels from these surfaces into local sewers and then onto the state's water system. They're saying that this rain tax revenue is going to be generated by these taxes would be used to upgrade the state's storm water systems. And it just goes on and on in here how they're justifying this. And this, again, goes right in with the Agenda 2030 protocol. Because understand this, guys. You can't put a cap on rain tax or how much permeable surface you have. You're going to start getting taxed because you have a driveway. And, of course, those taxes are going to be continually raised every year, like we've seen in every state when taxes are gone. And anybody ever notice, am I the only person that ever noticed this, that taxes don't ever go down. realistically, they never go down. They always say, oh, we're going to start, this is going to be a 0.5% tax on this. This is going to be a 1% tax. And you watch the numbers on it, and you watch the graph on it, and you give it 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Those 0.5% taxes are now 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10%. And you don't even know how they got there because you're not getting to vote on most of them. Once you hand over your ability to stop these things and the politicians, and you have the governor now, like we had Rick Scott down here in Florida sign the red flag gun law, which is insane to me as well. Once you have these governors sign this stuff into law, and we have no say on it, we had no take on it, we didn't get to vote on it, now we're being taxed again illegally, having money stolen from us because they deem it to be necessary, all under the UN Agenda 2030. As you guys remember, the Florida shooting down here last February in Parkland, there have now been a whopping 55 new gun control measures in 26 states in just the first 6 months of last year. Some of those laws being passed were the red flag gun laws, including Florida, which disarm individuals who simply can be reported as making a threat. A recent report out of Fox 32 has pointed out now 9 states have passed red flag laws over the past year since the Parkland shooting, bringing the total to 14 states total. To show how willing these states are to use the laws, an unprecedented 1,700 orders to seize guns were issued in 2018 alone in just the 11 states that currently had the red flag gun laws issued, resulting in confiscation of thousands upon thousands of guns across the United States. What's more crazy is the fact the number is likely to become far greater because there is no requirement to report these numbers. And that data, by the way, does not include California. California is in a whole other category of its own in confiscating firearms. So what we're seeing here from New Jersey to Florida to California to Washington, all across the states now, is that the communist agenda has found that they can't get much push through the federal government right now, especially with Trump in power. They really can't get much through. So now they've decided to take it into the state level and convert even Republicans like we had Rick Scott, who was an A++ NRA member when he got elected as governor of Florida, to turn these guys, whether it be through blackmail or bribes or money laundering, who knows, but to get these guys to start adding in these unbelievably unconstitutional laws, these unbelievably insanely high taxes. And this is what they're doing state by state by state until we stand up and say, no, this is not something we're going to allow anymore. Washington State is getting so weird now. They have now become the first state in the union to allow, if they sign this into law, they have a bill now, Senate Bill 5001, that's actually got a lot of support, which will make them the first state in the union to allow human composting, accelerating conversion of human remains to soil. I kid you not, it's concerning. Human remains would allow for human composting, also known as recomposition in Washington. They compare human composting to processes already in effect to recycle human remains. Spade goes on to say, we've proved recomposition was indeed safe and effective for humans as well. According to Spade, human composting involves covering dead bodies with natural materials such as straw or wood chips, which leads to accelerated decomposition over the course of 3 to 7 weeks. Families, of course, would have first dibs on the resulting soil, he said, and if they don't want it, we'll partner with local conservation groups around the area so that the soil will be used to nourish the land here in the state. First thing when I saw this, the first thing that I thought of was Soylent Green, the old movie back in the day with Charlton Heston, when they're basically feeding the population the remains of people that have died. This is a very weird topic. I understand that if this goes into law, this is not going to just stop. Well, we're going to just recompost humans and use them as fertilizer. This will be another plan into the eugenics United Nations 2030 protocol to start being able to do mass euthanasia and mass genocide, because understand, it's very difficult. They've seen this in numerous countries, whether it be Russia, whether it be Germany, whether it be China. It's very difficult to get rid of millions of corpses. When you start killing millions of people, you start running into a logistics issue because you can't contaminate groundwater. You have to start figuring out what to do with all the bodies. United States has 330 million people, give or take some, in this country right now. Remember, we already saw the Deagle report that basically said by, 2025, we were supposed to have 65 million people in the population of the United States. I mean, some crazy number. I don't know numbers in front of me. So when we start seeing stuff like this, like infanticide with these states that are basically coming in now and saying it's okay to kill little children when we already have over 41 million babies that were aborted last year alone globally. Now we have Washington State coming in and saying we're going to start composting bodies and using them as fertilizer. It kind of starts to raise some red flags. One of them by himself would be bad enough, but adding all this stuff in together, and then when you start reading the sustainability policy of the United Nations 2030 agenda, it really starts coming into a full broad picture of what they're trying to do to this country, because the United States is really the last stronghold. We're the most well-armed, we're the most trained, we're the most funded, we're the most resilient in most cases because of our population and background and military, and they know that there's no way to push a new world order without dropping the United States into the vat of hell, essentially, to get back into the one world currency, one world government. And so these things are starting to get pretty creepy. When I saw those things together today, Dad, it really started to paint a clear picture of what they're trying to do to the United States.
Well, let's think about it for a second, Austin. You know, gelatin is made from the cartilage and the bones and the tissue and the skin of cows and pigs, etc. So it's made out of. You make crystallized gelatin. So you get kosher gelatin. You don't have any pork in it. You know, we don't know where these carcasses are going to go, these human remains are going to go. You know, you like you said, if you kill 270 million people, where are you going to put the corpses? That's a lot of burial. That's a lot of rotting people in shallow graves turning into compost. I mean, where are you going to put them all? But how about this? Let's go back to Soylent Green with Charlton Heston, who we knew, may he rest in peace. And he basically did that movie way, way before its time. And suddenly, all of a sudden, like, you know, why don't we just start taking these people and putting them into acid baths or some type of solution to dissolve their corpses and turn them into jello, turn them into gelatin. And then we can put it into cakes and we can serve it to the human beings because they're animals anyhow. I mean, we're talking Pet Cemetery here with Stephen King here. You take your daddy or your granddaddy or whatever you want to take and throw them out in the backyard, throw some leaves on them, let them compost. I mean, are you kidding me? What are we, a dog now? Are we talking about burying our pet in the backyard? We're going to bury our family in the backyard, let them turn into dirt? Where's the dignity in that? But, oh, that's right. They don't see us as having dignity. They see us as animals. They see us as goyim, cattle, you know, led to the slaughter. They don't see us as humans. If they saw us as human beings, they would not have the Rockefeller Rothschild medical complex poisoning us from birth to grave. They wouldn't have that. They don't want to cure us and keep us healthy, but they don't want to do that. They want to take care of all of us via their industries and their profit centers and making sure that all of us are basically utilized and all of our wealth is extracted and that we can work as slaves until we can basically die, and then they can feed us back to each other. I mean, what a bunch of sickos, man. I mean, think about it. I got to stop for 1 second. You know, Trump is everybody says how Trump is great. Here's an article on Breitbart. Trump defends the Second Amendment in El Paso. Come and take it. Trump is the guy who told Rick Scott to pass the gun confiscation laws in Florida and pushed our House and Senate to pass the laws that we never voted on. This should have been a constitutional amendment in the state of Florida. They should have made it go to the voters to be voted for. They didn't do that. But Trump did this. Trump is not who you think he is. During his Monday night rally in El Paso, Texas, President Trump defended the Second Amendment by recounting the Battle of Gonzales and saying, come and take it. Wait a minute. He's saying come and take it? Okay, Trump's saying come and take it. All right. How about Venezuela? Are we going to come and take Venezuela too? Okay. He looked around during roaring applause and said, come and take it. I mean, but, you know, isn't he the one who's pushing these laws nationwide? Isn't he the one who wants to have laws to take your weapons away? Isn't he said it's better to take the weapons away to start with to make sure that they don't hurt people? I mean, isn't that what he said? I believe that's what he said. I mean, unbelievable. Here's another article. This is from Tyler Durden, but it was authored by C.J. Tompkins via the UNS Review. And it says, making globalism great again. Did Trump fold to the deep state? Now, listen very carefully. Now, you're my listeners, our listeners, okay? You're going to understand what I'm going to say right now. 90% of the people who are patriots won't understand what I'm fixing to read. Listen to what he says. Maybe Donald Trump isn't as stupid as I thought. I'd hate to have to admit that publicly, but it does seem to be kind of what he's put one over on the liberal corporate media this time. Scanning the recent Trump-related news, this is basically doing a web search, I couldn't help notice a significant decline in the number of references to, here we go, Weimar, Germany, Hitler, the brink of fascism that America supposedly has been teetering on since Hillary Clinton lost the election, Nazis. I Googled around pretty well, I think, but I couldn't find a single editorial warning that Trump was about to similarly cancel the U.S. Constitution, dissolve Congress, and proclaim himself Führer. Nor did I see any mention of Auschwitz or any of the Nazi stuff, which is weird, considering that Hitler hysteria has been a standard feature of the official narrative, which we've been subjected to for the last 2 years. So how did Trump finally get the liberal corporate media to stop calling him a fascist, Hitler, a Nazi? He did it by acting like a fascist, like a normal president, which is to say he did the bidding of the deep state goons and corporate mandarins that manage the global capitalist empire, the smiley, happy, democracy-spreading post-fascist version of fascism we live under. Wow. Now he starts talking about Venezuela, and he starts talking about what's happening in the United States, and he goes, the entire global capitalist empire is working in concert to force the elected president out of office in Venezuela. He goes, and what about American corporations? You know, they want the Venezuelan oil, don't they? Well, sure they do, but there's one thing. There are no American oil corporations or corporations, especially multi-level, multi-billion dollar transnational corporations, and have no nationalities or any real allegiances other than their major stockholders. And then he goes on to say a few things about the globalist capitalist empire and what happened to the United States. And I want to read this to you very quickly because it's pretty doggone good. It says, unfortunately, there is no America. That's what he's saying now. There's nothing to make great again. It's fiction. It's a fantasy. It's nostalgia that hucksters like Donald Trump and other marginally less buffooned hucksters use to sell whatever they're selling themselves, wars, cars, whatever. What there is reality is this. Instead of America, this is a supranational globalist capitalist empire, a decentralized, interdependent network of global corporations, financial institutions, national governments, intelligence agencies, and supranational government entities, military forces, media, and so on. Now, if that sounds a bit far-fetched or conspiratorial, then look what's happening in Venezuela. Guys, think through this with me for a second. We've got all these alphabet agencies listening to everything you say and do. We've got a 5G network that's about to roll out that's going to basically track you and your DNA everywhere you go. We've got a 5G network which is going to be so debilitating to us by opening up a giant microwave and sticking us in it that it's going to cause all kinds of disease and health issues that Trump has now deregulated to make sure all the safety features are off. We've got Donald Trump coming out now and basically promoting, you know, that women should be in the workplace and working. We've got Donald Trump doing all of the things that his globalist handlers want him to do, and suddenly the media and the press have stopped calling him a fascist, dictator, Hitler-like figure. All right? Think through this with me. Why in the world suddenly is, well, because he's doing the bidding of his handlers. When he first got into the White House, he didn't realize that he was a figurehead and that he was supposed to be a do-boy, and he wanted to do something different. And he found out real quick that the do-boy is going to do what the do-boy is told to do when he's in the presidency of the United States. Otherwise, the do-boy gets subjected to media onslaught unlike the which the world has never seen. No president's ever been attacked like Trump was when he first got into office. But now he's taking his marching orders. He's making sure he wants to seize guns. He's making sure that we, you know, we basically take over Venezuela. Tells us we're not going to be, we're Syria, now we're going to stay in Syria, now we're not going to be in Afghanistan, we're going to stay in Afghanistan, we're not going to be in Iraq, now we're going to stay in Iraq. Yeah, whatever. Who's running the show? I'll tell you who it is. Every year. And if they were, you, Austin was joking with me yesterday, and somebody else was joking, well, how quickly does it take for you to say Sabbatean, Luciferian, Kabbalist, banker, Masonic leaders? I'm like, well, I don't know. Sometimes it may take me 2 or 3 minutes. That's who's running the show. And that's who's doing this. And guys, if you've listened to the show long enough, there's a reason that nobody else talks about this stuff. Because it's too close and it's not politically correct. I mean, you know, we've got people claiming to be rabbis in Christian churches doing gematria hand signs, blessing congregations and saying it's in the name of Christ. What the heck is out of the Kabbalah? It's Luciferian stuff. So we got some weird stuff. We got John Hagee saying that Jesus Christ was not the Messiah. Wasn't the Messiah? Well, that seems weird to me. I mean, why would John Hagee say something like that? Well, because he's been converted over to some other religion, I guess. I don't know. But it seems all very, very, very strange to me that we, Christians, and we're watching this happen, and we're getting sucked into this deluge of this unbelievable junk, and we're believing it. Guys, read the Word of God. Read your New Testament. Read the Bible. Read Proverbs. Read Psalms. Read the Torah, the five first books of Levitical law. Read all of this stuff and realize that God is very specific on what He wants us to do and what He wants us to believe. And then we have people say, well, I'm okay with homosexuality. I'm okay with it. Well, guys, you know, do you realize that when you have militant homosexuals running around trying to pass laws to protect their sexual preferences to make you a person who's committing a hate crime when you say, I disagree with you? It's like Mancow said the other day. It's not enough that you say, okay, whatever, man, but they want you to love it. They want you to like it. They want you to say, okay, I embrace it. No, man, this is unbelievable. And they're doing it to our children and everything else. And then we have churches who refuse because they got panty-wearing pastors in the pulpit, okay, that they don't want to stand up and say, this is wrong. This is no good. This is not okay. Don't want to do that because I'm going to have too many giving units leave the church. And I won't be able to have my three vacation homes and my two jets. And I won't be able to run this 501(c) corporation, United States corporation, not a house of prayer, you know, and make a lot of money with it. When they allowed the 501(c) corporations to start and they took away it being a house of prayer and they gave them legal tax exempt status like we had before 1913 with the income tax, which means back then if you made money, you got to keep it. You know, without being taxed on it. You'd have to run depreciation schedules and all this other kind of crazy stuff. They've made these guys basically tax cheats is what they are. They're running for-profit corporations in a 501(c) corporation in order to amass fortunes for themselves. And then these guys run around bragging about having hundreds of billions of dollars. And one of them runs around saying he's a billionaire. Multiple ones on the TV stations are billionaires. You think, well, are you jealous of them, Ted? No, I'm not jealous of them. But let me ask you guys a question. You know, I know for certain that there's several massive TV shows, and I know this because I know the people who own them or knew them before they died. They have hundreds of millions of dollars in liquidity. I mean, just cash laying around, sometimes up close to $1 billion in cash laying around. Okay, why is this not being used to evangelize the world? Why is this not being used to find churches that are God-fearing churches that are preaching the message of Jesus Christ to pay off their mortgages? Whoa, can't do that. How about that? How about we pay off the mortgages for a bunch of God-fearing churches whose pastors aren't Masonic leaders? How about we do that? How about we go in and we give money to these people if we got billions of dollars laying around to pay off the churches to get the message of Jesus Christ? No, they won't do that. They have to maintain their fleet of jets. Maintain their fleet of jets. The other day I got a video of one of the top pastors, and he had a friend who went through saw his G4, G5, and all the other planes that are in there in his locker. I mean, I've got a videotape of it. And basically said, these are all the planes this guy has. I mean, it's unbelievable. This is a 501(c) corporation. Guy claims to be a billionaire. You think, well, what the heck? No. Don't do that. Don't amass a fortune. You need to be a conduit for God. You know, there's nothing wrong with having, you know, some money saved up. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But when every single penny goes to basically promote your own lusts, whatever you want, or just sitting on it and hoarding it and not furthering the kingdom of God, why do you consider yourself a church, a house of prayer? No. If anything, set up food banks and go feed the homeless. Go take these people off the streets and give them a place to sleep when it's freezing cold outside. Go set up a soup kitchen. Go do something. But they don't want to do that. It's not fun for them to do that because it doesn't increase the amount of giving units they have. And forgive me for being cynical about this, but I've seen too much of it. I've been behind the scenes, so to speak. And that's not a metaphor. I've been behind the scenes. And it ain't what you think it is. So, guys, I'm going to tell you this, and I've told you this a dozen times on the show, and I'll tell you again. Don't give to these TV preachers. You give to your local church. You go to your church. You get fed there. You have pastors there. They'll help you. They'll consult with you. They'll pray for you. They'll give you a funeral if you need it for one of your family members. But, guys, these boys and girls who basically all they want to do is be on the TV and just rake in the bucks, no, I know them. I know too many of them. Just avoid them like the plague. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, a lot of that stuff, yeah. And also, too, going back to what you said earlier, I saw the Article 2 with Trump in Texas talking about the Mullen lobby basically come and take it with the Alamo and everything. And I kind of chuckled about that as well because it really reminded me of James 1:8, basically a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, where he's coming out and he's telling ATF, you need to basically make bumfire stocks a felony to possess. and then turning around and telling the Texans, come and take it.
That's right. That's
Which
right.
one is it, Donald? Which one is it? I mean, don't get me wrong. That's I mean, right. I support our president. I've had his back in a lot of stuff, and I've definitely tried to stay very unbiased. I call him out for good stuff. I call him out for bad stuff. But how are you going to sit there and tell the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives to make it a felony to possess a plastic stock and literally reverse a ruling and a law since 1934 on machine gun laws and turn a plastic stock into a felony with no grandfathering, and then turn around and go to the Texas population and give them this history lesson of the Alamo and say, come and take it. Which one is it? Because quite frankly, if he's saying that, if he's saying, listen, I made a mistake, you guys need to resist these unconstitutional gun laws, I'm going back and I'm rescinding my offer to ATF and I'm blocking what they do. I made a mistake. I would say, Okay.
That's right. That,
you got my attention. You got my attention. Applaud. Bravo. You made a mistake. You called it out. Put a leash on the ATF and say, I'm sorry for the population. Sorry, American population. I did this to you. Remember the Alamo. Come and take it. I'm coming back now, and I'm telling ATF, I'm rescinding this. No longer is this going to be allowed. This is completely unconstitutional. I'd say, okay. But he talks out of both sides of his mouth. And the
That's
problem
right.
is his actions are speaking a lot louder than his words are, guys. You have to look, and I hear all this stuff all the time now, too. Trust the process. It's Q. He's doing all this stuff right now.
Crap.
And occasionally there's all this stuff that comes out. I saw something out the other day, and he was something with Q about Ginsburg or whatever, the Supreme Court girl. Oh, she's dead. We're going to find out about this. Guys, we've been calling that up for weeks now. I'm already telling you that's
right.
going to happen. That was before Q ever said that. And then I saw another article that he reported on something that was going on at the South Beach Seaport, the Long Beach Seaport. This is something they do all the time, is they bust drugs on a regular basis, and Q supposedly mentioned it like 2 days before it happened, and now everybody goes, oh, Q's back on it again. He knows what he's talking about. Guys, listen, they know when they're going to bust stuff. Most of this stuff has already gotten leaked before they already even release it to the public. Six people were arrested on Australia last Thursday in the United States and in Australia after U.S. investigators intercepted almost 2 tons of methamphetamine and other narcotics in South California ship bound for Australia. Authorities in both countries said they believe it would be the largest seizure of meth in U.S. history. U.S. Customs and Border Protection said in a statement that the drugs packed in 3 containers concealed in what were labeled as loudspeakers were intercepted at the Los Angeles Long Beach Seaport on January 11th. Now, that's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. They busted almost 2 metric tons of methamphetamines. That doesn't mean Q knows everything about everything and he's still working for the American population or he has some profound knowledge because he talked about what happened over here in Seaport and released it a couple days before it became noted, you know, back in January 11th. So understand, a lot of this stuff is being used as information that may be accurate and he's putting it out there, but I'm looking at what people do with their actions. Don't come at me and say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and tell the ATF that they need to make bump fire stocks a felony to possess with no grandfathering, and I'm going to tell Governor Rick Scott to push a red flag gun law, and I'm going to support that red gun flag law statewide across the entire country, and then I'm going to go down to Texas and talk about the Alamo and tell the population down there to come and take it. It almost seems to me, and I could be totally, totally left field in this, but it's almost to me that he's trying to incite an insurrection in the United States by doing laws that diametrically oppose the Constitution while then telling the population not to follow those laws. To me, it's a lot easier. How about you just don't, how about you don't write those laws and you don't allow those laws to go into place and then you don't have to tell the population to disobey those laws. Just me, Dad, but I was pretty irritated as well when I saw that article earlier today at Breitbart.
Well, it's like you said, a double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. I mean, this is what we have here. We have a person who drinks a gallon of diet sodas a day and eats McDonald's food. My God, how healthy can he be? How healthy can his brain be? I mean, with all that aspartic acid, all that phenylalanine, and with all that methanol, all that paint thinner he's drinking every day, what the heck, man? 10% of aspartame is paint thinner. I mean, how much can you possibly think? He's so scared he's going to get poisoned. He wants to eat McDonald's all the time, which I can't really say as I blame him for that as far as the poisoning part. But there's a lot of different choices besides McDonald's. I mean,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, have a chef come in with organic food or whatever and have a taste tester like the kings of old did in case somebody decides to drop dead after they eat a bite. I mean, this is something that people need to understand, guys. We've got a major, major deal going on with this thing with Trump. I mean, we have been bought and sold a bill of goods that he's not doing what he said he was going to do. He says he is, but then his actions are opposite of what he said he's doing. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. At least Hillary was just a doggone socialist, communist, fascist, lowlife witch, and she never claimed to be anything else. She promoted the same thing over and over and over again. Same thing with Bernie Sanders. They're all a bunch of communists, okay? But this is like George W. in the White House again. George W., oh, we got weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We're going to go in and invade the country. Oh, we don't have any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We were wrong. Go ahead and hang Saddam Hussein anyhow because we just don't like him. Or whatever, man. Who does stuff like that? I mean, God, the guy was found innocent, didn't have anything. Put him back in power. Say, well, we're sorry, but we put you in to start with the CIA. We're going to put you back in. We thought, no. The goal was to take over the oil supply, to make sure that they got a Rothschild central bank in there, to make sure they continue to deal with the petrodollars, and to basically put them under the boot of the international banking federations. That's what they wanted. That's all they cared about. By the way, we talked a little bit earlier about this. Let me give you some stuff about this radical homosexual lobbying, what they're pushing. 2015, a county clerk is put in jail because she refused to participate in issuing marriage licenses to homosexual couples. Yes, that was 4 years ago. 2016, federal judge says adoption agencies in Mississippi are required to let homosexuals adopt children. 2017, this is because of the homosexual lobby, by the way. February 2017, Washington Supreme Court says Christian florists are required to participate with homosexual weddings. June 2017, Illinois bans Christians from adopting or being foster parents. I'm going to repeat that one. The state of Illinois banned Christians from adopting children or being foster parents, June 2017. Wow. December 2017, appeals court rules that Christian bakers should be forced to supply Betty wedding cakes. Of course, that was overturned. December 2017, federal court says it was acceptable to fire Atlanta's fire chief from his job because he shared literature that opposes sodomy. Okay, so you don't want to sodomize somebody, so now we're sending literature out, so now you got to get fired. Okay. 2018 February, federal appeal court says that you're not allowed to fire an employee for practicing a homosexual lifestyle. June 18, business executives fired from his job because he said sodomy is a sin. June 2018, Supreme Court says government officials should not openly voice hostility to Christians, but still fails to acknowledge the rights of Christian businesses which avoid participating in homosexual weddings. October 2018, high school football coach is fired from his job because he made a comment offending homosexuals. October 2018, state tells Christian filmmakers same-sex marriage films or spend 90 days in jail in Canada. You hear that? Make same-sex marriage films or spend 90 days in jail in Canada.
Wow.
January 2019, pastor is driven out of his church because he said homosexuality is a sin, quoting Romans. Guys, they had a gay parade scheduled in Russia. Gay parade. They're going to have a big gay parade to this small town. It was canceled within 24 hours of its being announced. And they said they will not allow this to be done in Russia to subvert Christian values and family values in their country. The people that are running Russia right now are not the same people that did the Soviet Union takeover back in 1915, 1916, 1917. The same group of 17 Kabbalists, Luciferian, Rothschild bankers that did all that. The people in Russia, I've met them. I spoke to them on a train one time for hours on end while we were going to Machu Picchu in Peru for 4 hours. And I met with them and I interviewed them. It was before the show where I'd taken notes. And everything's different in Russia now. Their values, their Christian values, the Russian Orthodox Church. They built 30,000 new churches. The government's come in and built 30,000 new churches just in the last few years under Putin because they want to bring back Christian values back into Russia, and they want to stop this onslaught of globalism and these sodomistic values that we see in Genesis and all the stuff that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Guys, here's the problem that I have. If you accept this stuff and you don't speak out against it and you just ignore it, your failure to say something against it implies your endorsement. That's how these guys work. It's this lesser magic they do. If they come to you and they say, we're going to do so-and-so to you, and you say, no, you're not, they have to stop. But if you don't say anything, it implies your endorsement, and you say it's okay. This is the problem with the churches. You got homosexual couples. I mean, Joel Osteen, we got homosexual people coming to church. We got Muslim people coming to church. My question is this. If the Bible's being preached in the church, why are Muslims coming to the church? Why are Jews coming to the church? Why are homosexuals coming to the church? If they're going to be doing these lifestyles, shouldn't they be convicted by the word of God through preachers? How else are you going to get convicted? How are you going to know what the truth is unless the preacher tells you? So if the word says that the preacher's not telling the truth, then they come to hear what their itching ears want to hear. So they get their 40,000 giving units in every Sunday. Oh my gosh, guys, can we believe this has happened to us in the United States of America? Can we believe this has happened to Christendom? Can we believe that we're in a situation where we're even having to talk about this stuff on a regular basis because nobody else wants to talk about it? Because it's not politically correct to mention this stuff? Guys, it's the same thing. What did it take? What did it take for Christians? And I guarantee you, 90% of evangelical churches still have not addressed the abortion late-term issue since it was released last month. I guarantee you they haven't. They won't talk about it on the pulpit because it makes too many people uncomfortable. Oh, boy, you can't talk about that, man. I remember one time I was preaching. Oh, I was preaching good. I was up in St. Louis, and I had a big church. It was a big church. Last time I was ever invited to preach there, and I was going for it. And the Holy Spirit just dropped on me. I started talking about sodomy and AIDS and homosexuality in the Bible. The pastor's in the front row waving at me. Stop! And I'm like, I ain't stopping. I got the platform. I got the microphone. Of course, I never was invited back. I never got to speak there again, but I wasn't going to stop. I did the same thing on Jim Baker's show. I was on Jim Baker's show 15 years ago, 14 years ago, whatever it was, 2006, I think, 13 years ago. They had a live microphone, and I was basically talking to the audience after the show, and I was doing a fundraising thing. You say, well, how do you know all these people? Like, don't even ask me questions. I know a bunch of these guys. They call me up because they want me to promote books, and being an author, I promote books because I'm trying to help the people in the audience, regardless of what they're being taught. When I'm not there, I'm trying to get the truth out. And they had a live microphone going on. They were asking me questions from the audience. Somebody asked me about homosexuality as a sin, and I let them have it. Now, I wasn't on the show. I was on the live feed. So a lot of his listeners were watching still. And let me tell you guys, it was one of those, you never got invited back. You never get to be, why is that? Because, you know, Jim Baker got called out by Jerry Falwell for being a homosexual. Yeah, you may not have remembered that one. Oh, yeah. I could tell you stories that you guys don't even want to know. And it's just crazy stuff, guys. And you find out what's going on behind the scenes, and you go, that's just awful. I didn't see that one coming. And nowadays, it takes a lot for me to say I didn't see that one coming because I've seen so much of it. Guys, remember this. The Bible says a man reaps what he sows. The world calls it karma. It goes back around, comes around. You see these guys, super rich. I had a friend of mine the other day, another pastor, big pastor, was having lunch with this woman pastor that you guys would know her name if I mentioned it to you. And if you're on my private email list and you want to ask me, I'll tell you who it was. And he basically was talking to her while she was sitting there boozing up on expensive wine. He said her steak and her wine was $500 while her husband sat across the table slamming down beer, just slamming down one brew after another, getting drunk at the table. What? Woman is a household name, and this is what they do in their private time. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. Guys, I've seen it. I've been around it. Plus, their kids are a bunch of doggone drug addicts and goofballs and dopers. And, you know, and they continue to, you know, work for the ministry. Unbelievable. I love you guys. I can't take any more. I got to go. Austin, go ahead and finish it up. Guys, thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you for listening to the show. God, I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. We've got the best products in the world. Also, go and do the write-up. I got to pray for you guys this morning. I appreciate every one of you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. And also, too, in other news, be sure of this. Is I always try to give people heads up on all these phones that we have and all these apps and everything. There's more and more stuff now that's coming out now that we're starting to see where these apps are following you. According to TechCrunch, apps for companies including Expedia, Air Canada, Hollister, and numerous other hotel, travel, airlines, cell phone carrier, banks, financiers, all of them now, are recording every tap and swipe you make on your iPhone apps. They know exactly how you're using their apps. Worse, even though their apps are meant to mask certain fields, they're even exposing sensitive data. Abercrombie & Finch, Hotels.com, and Singapore Airlines have been caught using Glassbox, which is a experience analytics firm, one of the handful of companies that allows developers to embed session replay technology in their apps. These session replays let app developers record the screen and play them back to see how its users interacted. Every tap,
button push, keyboard entries recorded, effectively screenshot and sent back to the app developers. In an interview with TechCrunch, mobile expert, the app analyst claimed Air Canada has not been taking proper security cautions at all with its sessions replays, with employees able to see unencrypted private information, including personal photos entered by the users. This gives Air Canada employees and anyone else capable of accessing the screenshot database, and also on top of that, seeing unencrypted credit card and password information. I don't know if you guys saw this online. Just a week ago, iPhone manufacturer Apple was a center of privacy concern when a video went viral. FaceTime, which allows Apple consumers to video call each other through their devices, it showed that a bug which could allow one person to spy on the other before they even accepted the call. So the reason why I say this is if you have apps on your phone that you really probably don't need, dump them. I don't use a lot of apps at all. Honestly, my phone has hardly any apps. If anything, I just go to a website with go and search for something and look for it. These apps are money-making machines. We're talking in the tens of billions of dollars. That's why they're all free to download, because they monitor everything. When it says, do you accept this, and they want to see your contacts, your photos, your media, your calls, your texts, your voice, your microphone, all that stuff, guys. They have access to literally your entire phone and can monitor, screen you, watch you, and spy on you as much as they want. Turn that stuff off. If you don't need the apps, delete them. If you do have the apps, turn all the permissions off. We've already seen that a lot of times they've still gotten away with it, with monitoring things. But again, if something did occur and something got leaked out that was sensitive information and you did have those permissions turned off, it's ripe for a lawsuit. And I wouldn't have a bit of hesitation to sue one of these big companies if they allowed my personal data to get leaked out, especially after I had already turned them off. So just a side note for that, be aware of it, understand what's going on. Again, I always tell people, don't use your phones for personal things as much as possible. If you're having a private conversation, keep your phone out of it. Keep your phone away from you when you don't need it. Don't be so attached to your phone that you have to be around it 24/7. It's not healthy. Just take a break from it, guys. I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for all the emails. I'm going through them today. I got a lot of emails from yesterday. Awesome stuff, guys. Hope you're enjoying the new timeline, time show, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., great time. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome day. Have a wonderful night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.